my darkness into your marvelous light in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have a list of songs that I don't want the words to go out on. That one's number one. I saw those words weren't coming up there. I was like, Lord, take over. Man. And he did. When the words don't appear before you and you don't know if you're going to make it, you just trust on the mighty name of God. And he begins to move, amen. Praise God. Don't get me preaching. We've got prayer requests that we're going to take before the Lord. And I feel him in the house tonight.
Yes, amen.
And when God's here, there's healing.
Right.
And when God's here, there's deliverance.
Right.
It's not just things that he does. It's who he is.
Right.
It is his nature.
Yes.
And right now, we have the opportunity for God to move. And for God to do some miraculous things in some people's lives.
Yes, that's right.
That we have Dee Dee Freeland, Mike Ushry's sister, Peyton Horton, Manuel Martinez, Jeremy and Natalie Berry, Sharon Little, Deborah Metzger, Danny Bramlett, Sonia Carter, Mandy Stinson, Sister Dickie, and David Young. And what we're going to do now is we're just going to surrender our needs. I don't know what you walked in here with. I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what's waiting for you maybe tonight or waiting for you Monday morning. But I do know who is here for you tonight. And that is our King of Kings. That is our Lord of Lords. That is the one who died on the cross, not for you just to walk in darkness, but to be called out of darkness and to walk into victory with him tonight. And if you feel the need to step forward, ministers will pray with you and for you. And there is going to be a move of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait for the altar call to get healed. But God can heal right now. So, Father, thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your promise. Thank you that, God, I can depend on you and know that you will not let me down. You will not leave me nor forsake me, but God, you will heal and you will restore. And God, I pray that you touch every need right now, that you heal every body, that you touch every mind, that you cleanse every heart. In Jesus' name, move throughout this place. In Jesus' name.
Silence fear, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the street.
Over every enemy.
Rally 7:30 p.m. at Calvary UPC of Denton, and Brother Stephen will be preaching, and so make sure you attend. I still don't know how to announce that. It's still weird, but it's going to be a great time, and so if you can make it there, or at least just pray for the youth that are attending, or maybe the one that's at least driving the van, and so I'll be praying for them. It's going to be a great trip. Also on the 9th, we'll have our Mothers and Friends movie night at 6 p.m. at the Family Life Center. $5 sign up, and it is in the foyer, so make sure you are signing up for that. And also, I'd like to apologize. We announced our men's breakfast, so we are canceling that too. It was double booked. We got too much going on. We got so much happening. So the Family Center is already booked, and so we will not be having our men's breakfast on the 10th. On the 11th is our Mother's Day service, AM service only. And then on the 18th is our senior graduation service in the morning at 10 a.m. And we have about 13 seniors. And so we have, it's an unprecedented senior class that we are having. And so it is going to be incredible. So make sure you are there to honor them and to give them gifts and to just witness what God has been doing in the youth of UPC of Paris. Amen. God has his hand on U-turn, and we're getting ready to change the world. We have been. And so, if the ushers could come, we're going to take our tithe and our offering, and we're just going to move further into worship, amen? Father, thank you so much for your presence, and God, I pray that you bless what's given and bless the giver, and anoint us to respond to your word today, in Jesus' name.
Joy of the Lord, God.
joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Everybody don't move it one time. Just kind of step in the aisle a little bit. I ain't going to do nothing crazy, I promise. Just hang on. And if you would, my friend, give me that beat you have with that. I feel the joy. Now, if somebody help me right quick, if you wouldn't mind just putting your two feet together and do something like this. I feel pretty good right now. Now, if you don't mind, would you just stop doing it? Just go ahead and stop. Keep on doing it with me. Now, just stay with me. I know it's kind of weird right now, but just stay with me right now. If I'm at a Texas Rangers game, now I don't like the Rangers, but if I'm at the Astros game, God's team, and I'm there, and Jose Altuve knocks me out of the park, hear me right quick. Ain't no music playing. But I watched 3 weeks ago, me and my boy went and watched the Padres get smoked by the Astros, and I watched when he hit the home run, and the entire stadium at one time jumped on their feet. And everybody stomped their feet. They clapped their hands. And nobody played no music. Let me help somebody right now. 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus, he hit a home run. And he came to save somebody like you and me. So I think I can get on my feet and do something like this. I wish somebody helped me right now. Give God praise like he's been good to you. It don't matter if you can do it on beat or not. Just give God what you got. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Uh-oh. I feel old school right now. God have mercy. When I was growing up, we did something called a victory march. Anybody want to step out in faith and take a victory march around this house? Come on, Paris. It may seem weird to the world, but it ain't weird to us. We've been bought by a price. That's it, somebody. The Holy Ghost wants to move on a Sunday night and give you victory beyond where you've been. Hallelujah. Let's do a little bit of that. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I feel the joy.
Joy of the Lord.
this one more time, but when you march, I want you to march for that lost baby that ain't came back to God yet. I want you to march for that lost individual on your job that's hung up on all kinds of addiction. As a matter of fact, I want you to march for you, because some of you need God to set your mind free. Come on, somebody. We ain't marching just to be marching. We're marching because Jesus is in the room. Struck out at the plate. And before the devil lets you believe that he's going to strike out on coming through for you, you have to know he's been doing this for eons, and you're just one individual who he came down and his eyes are on you. The psalmist said, if I stop and try to count the thoughts that he thinks towards me, it's like the sands of the seashore. What he's saying is this: I can't stop thinking about you, Stephen. I can't stop thinking about you, Brother Griffith. What he's saying is his eye really is on the sparrow. Strike out on you. Well, you never know what will happen at a Pentecostal church. And let me just put a disclaimer here, that long before that word Pentecost ever became what you and I think of it as, he was commanding long before the UPC, ALJC, WPF, Apostolic Movement, whatever you want, I care less. Long before any of that stuff, he was commanding, let everything. That's Old Testament. That ain't New Testament. Let everything that has. Shout unto God with the. Now in the New Testament, he had to help some of us Pentecost folks out. He said, if you need joy, sometimes you got to leap for it. Hey, sometimes you got to leap for some things. Sometimes open your mouth. Whatever it is, just don't associate it with the movement. Because praise has always been in order. When we get to heaven, there will be no denominations. It'll just be Jesus and him lifted up. And I thank God for that. What a great move of the Holy Ghost. High five somebody. Tell them I love you and you're awesome. I heard three high fives. Come on, somebody. High five somebody. Tell them, you're awesome. I love you. Brother Stephen high fived himself. That's great. Amen. Let's high five an angel, man. He's here. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be in church today. And so thankful for God's presence this morning. Thank you, praise team, again, for leading us into his presence. What a great nacho dinner today. Man, that was awesome. Thank you. Yeah, thank God for that. That was great. We thank God for that. And I'm aware it's 6:40. You have to work tomorrow. I know all of that. And I'm mindful of the time. And if you have your Bibles tonight, we're turning to a familiar scripture, Acts chapter 2.
read verses 36 through 41, and then we'll skip down to verse 47. And the scripture says this. This is Peter speaking here in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked. Now, in Texas, that just means they were convicted. They felt horrible. They were convicted in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, it's unto you, it's to your children, it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or this perverse generation. Then they, hear this part, that gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, after Peter is speaking, that they were praising God, yes, the apostles, they were praising God, having favor with all the people. And the end of verse 47 says it like this. And the Lord added to the church, everybody said daily, such as should be saved. Saving has never been God's problem. He's in the saving business. All he needs is an empty vessel that's willing and that's hungry for his spirit to fill that vessel. I want to preach tonight on a simple thought on simply what God sees. What God sees. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this awesome church. Help us, Holy Ghost, to follow your voice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. Now, you are awesome in worship and praise. Let's not die right now, okay? Let's keep this thing moving, all right? Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. What God sees. Up until the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, for roughly 4,000 years, the nation of Israel and even the world at large, even though spiritually unaware, had been living in hopes of a Savior who would right the wrong of Adam and Eve's fall in the garden. For 4,000 years, the world had waited, anticipating a Savior who would atone for their sins and restore man's personal relationship with a holy God. From Adam and Eve to the patriarchal era of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, up until the law of Moses, men and women lived offering literal sacrifices to appease God for their sins. God, through Moses, implemented what we know as the Old Testament law. But we understand, if you've read the Bible, and if not, it's very simple, that the law in and of itself was simply a staging ground for what was to come. God could see that the law was simply pointing towards what would be, as Hebrews called, a better covenant. Up until Christ, who was that spotless lamb, for thousands of years, there was no such thing as what we know as growing God's kingdom through reaching the world with the gospel message. We would only see glimpses as to what would be through God's prophets, but nobody truly had understanding as to what God really had in mind. Men were only given glimpses into the future, and they would go to their graves, having never seen the fulfillment of the word of God spoken concerning the church that was to come. Isaiah would write about the Savior who was coming, but he would never live to see it. In 7 and 14, he said, God will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. He would write that unto us a child is born, a son is
given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Micah, that minor prophet in the Old Testament, also under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he would write about a Savior coming, but he would never live to see the moment. He would say that, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Joel, also a minor prophet, would follow the same path in speaking but never seeing all of God's word come to pass. And he would tell us afterward, God speaking, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out of my spirit in those days. And true to his word, God robed himself in flesh, and he became the atonement, or he became the payment for our sins. But the bigger picture was that God came to enact or to establish what would be known as the church. For God himself would see what nobody else could see. So in his infinite wisdom, he looked ahead in time. And his first mention of this is in Matthew chapter 16. He takes his disciples at Caesarea Philippi and he asks them, who do men say that I am? They all spouted off these different answers. And finally, Peter came out and said, you are the Christ. And Jesus spoke to Peter and said, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, upon this revelation you've been given, I will build my church. And when Jesus spoke these words to the disciples, you have to understand that they had no clue as to what was to come, like you and I now understand the church to be. Hey, we're living in the moment, just following Jesus around, but they would soon realize that they were to be the spearhead of what would be known as a worldwide revival. For when Jesus hung on the cross and when he rose from the grave, he instructed what would be the first ever church in Luke 24 and said, I'm fixing to send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you right here. They, the disciples, those about 120, they were on the cusp of something brand new. They were on the brink of a life-changing event. They were on the very edge of the greatest event to ever occur in human history. But hear me when I tell you, they really didn't know it, and they really could not see it. They were just glad and pleased to be with him there on the hillside as he spoke in Luke 24. They just thought he's back and maybe it'll always be this way. That was until he spoke and that they were to go to Jerusalem and they were to wait. And as he spoke, the Bible says he began to ascend into the heavens. And as we know, they really didn't know what was to truly come, because the Bible says this, that they stood as he went into the heavens. They stood staring up into an empty sky. And the Bible says this, that the angel of the Lord appeared and said these words, why stand ye here looking or gazing into an empty sky? This same Jesus who you saw taken away, he will come back in like manner. And the rest of the story is history. They return to Jerusalem. They are there in an upper room. They are waiting for God to move. And they all no doubt sensed that something was taking place. But nobody could really see what was to come. God didn't tell them 3 years earlier that they were going to go to Jerusalem and wait until they were endued with power from on high. But God waited till around 7 to 10 days previous. He chose, before he chose to pour out his spirit and to establish his church, to say, go and wait until I pour it out. I want to repeat this again. Just stay with me a couple of minutes here. It's important you don't miss this vital point. They were on the cusp of a supernatural breakthrough. They were on the cusp of something brand new, but they could not see it. It wasn't because they were bad people or because they were unspiritual. They were simply walking in faith. They didn't really know what it was going to look like because they had never seen anything like what was to come. They are there in an upper room praying, and suddenly when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And the Bible says suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were absolutely blown away. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. And as the people around them heard them speaking their own languages, these people realized they're not of our nationality, yet they speak the great things of God. It was brand new. And for the first time, the Apostle Peter felt something come over him. For the first time from the inside out, Peter felt, man, I felt anger, I felt a temper. But for the first time, he felt what we call the anointing. He felt what we call boldness in the Spirit. And he stood with the other 11 and he said in unison, men and brethren, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this really is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saith the Lord, in the last day I will pour out of my spirit upon all. And for 18 more verses, he preaches a message. And as he's preaching, people in the crowd start to experience what we call conviction moving. They start to feel the Spirit as it begins to use Peter to point to their bad deeds. And as Peter finishes the message, I can almost see him trembling, wondering what in the world just happened. I felt something I've never felt before. And before he had too long to think about it, somebody in the crowd screamed out, my God, Peter, what must I do to right the wrong that's been done? And Peter preached that beautiful gospel message that you are to repent, you are to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and to give hope for you and me. He said, this promise still works for you, baby. It still works for your family and your children and your children's children. Peter could have never known what would happen next. He didn't know that he was a part of the first church just yet. It all happened so fast that his head was spinning, and he's fixing to see the church grow by leaps and bounds. He's fixing to see this church explode, and there will be no explanation for it except only God could do something like this. For the first time, he's fixing to see what God sees. He waited, he stayed, and now he's fixing to see the fulfillment of the promise. And two verses later, the Bible says that they who received the word were baptized. And the same day, God added 3,000 people to the church. Turn to somebody and say, it happened suddenly. So suddenly that the Bible says, anybody who would hear it, that God added to the church every single day such as should be saved. I've had a long runway to preach about right here. I want to preach to this great church tonight and tell you the word of the Lord says this in Isaiah, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I feel a prophetic word in this house to tell people here right now, God's going to put rivers in places in this entire area that people said were burn over fields, that people said it would never happen, that people said ain't no way. I'm telling you, watch God work. He sees some things that you don't see. He sees some things you can't even imagine right now. He's just trying to get the body to understand, I'm the Lord of the harvest, and I decide when I'll move and who I want to move through. You may not see it. You may not even sense it. You may not even, as we Pentecostals, even feel it. But what you feel don't change God's mind. Your feeling has never deterred what God is going to do. This great church, it is a strong church. It is a great church, and mighty waves of glory have moved in this room and the other room, and God has brought in many souls. For that, we rejoice and give God all the praise. But I'm telling us tonight, what I believe God sees for this house, for this county, it's going to shake people back to their roots. I sensed it this afternoon in the office that God is going to send such a godly conviction. It's going to sweep over this county, and grown men who said they'd never move are going to shake under the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, what's about that old time conviction? Ain't no such thing as old time conviction. It's just Bible conviction. It's just the word of God getting into a heart and telling them, you need to stop how you're living and come out of that stuff. God, everybody said God, he wants to send this great church over the edge and experience a harvest by leaps and bounds. And I want to just help somebody right now. I'm weird, and maybe you're weird, but let me just be the weird me right now. I didn't come to this great church to have a honeymoon faith where we just sing Kumbaya for a year and you slap me on the back and I pat you on the back. No. I came with one mindset. And that one mindset is souls, 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 souls. I've got one agenda, and that is to reach as many as I can while I can. God may choose to take me out of this place in 1 year. I don't know. God determines my lifespan. But until he does, I want to work while it's still day. Because he said you better work, because night is coming when no man can work. God sees a harvest that'll happen in this house by leaps. I love that. By leaps and bounds. Now, when I say leaps and bounds in that context, it simply means that there will be a significant and a rapid increase or growth in the number of people experiencing Acts 2:38. There will be a substantial and a quick expansion of the church. Well, you're going to fight devils. We've been fighting the devil since Genesis. We'll be fighting the devil until God kicks him in hell. That ain't changed nothing. But he can't stop the revival. He can't stop the harvest. You're not hearing me. I said he can't stop what God wants to do. He can't stop and slow down. This house will be a center, you hear me right now, of suddenly, now growth. I'm speaking to this Parish United Pentecostal Church that there is a harvest that's coming by leaps and bounds that God sees. I'm telling you, you and I have got to start seeing, and not just seeing, but start expecting God to do sudden things in this body. Start seeing what God sees. Look for sudden growth. Anyone besides me willing to agree with me and believe that God is fixing to send a harvest by leaps and by bounds? You study the book of Acts. I ain't got time to preach all this tonight, but you study the book of Acts. It's marked by numerical growth. Then Acts 3 and 4, it's marked by miracles and opposition. He showed up. And it's marked by financial breakthrough. It is. The Bible says in Acts 3, Peter and John went to pray. They saw a lame man by a gate. He wanted money. He wanted gold. They said, look, man, don't you know I'm broke? But what I got, I'm going to give you something, Bubba, that'll help you get a job. I'm going to give you something that'll absolutely alter your life. And when I get done, in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll get up and walk. And my Bible says all three of them went to the temple worshiping and praising God. Now, I got to slow down here, because it's funny to me that when the miracle happened, church people got mad. I get so mad. I probably shouldn't say it like this. But you ever wanted to
chokehold somebody. Any honest people? Are you all sanctified? Yeah. Amen. I don't have sanctified days every day. Amen. There's days that thoughts cross my mind that I just want to give somebody a good punch. Amen. I ain't did that, just so you know, in case you're wondering. But it's one of those days, if I'd have been there, if I'd have been the Apostle Peter, Brother Lawrence, I would have wanna, off the top rope, DDT, WWF, whatever you want to say, the first Pharisee who told me, by whose authority did you do this? Who do you think you are, letting somebody be healed and set free on the Sabbath day? Who do you think you are to give somebody hope and freedom? Don't you know it's got to run through me? Don't you know, there, I said it last time, that there's capital B believers and then there's little B believers. And I'm a capital B believer, so everything goes through me or God didn't do it. Let me help you with that, my friend. God probably won't ever go through you with that kind of spirit. But thanks be to God, there was a couple of preachers who said, you know what? I don't care what time of the day it is. He can set this man free. I'm going to preach it right now. I prayed them through on Monday mornings. I baptize them all hours of the day. I don't care who says what, who thinks what. I just want one more to come in the house and know there is a God. Church got mad, stressed Peter out because they about killed the boy. Yeah, they beat him. They put him in jail overnight. And when he got out of the jail, he said, my God, I got to do what I've always been doing. We better call a prayer meeting. And the Bible says, hear me, Acts 2, numerical growth. Acts 3, miracles, opposition. Acts 4, prayer meeting. Because the Bible says in Acts 4, when he got out of the jail cell, he went to the house, the church prayed together until the house was shaken. Here, watch this. And the Bible said when it was shook, they got up with boldness and said, try it one more time, devil. Try it one more time. Bump your gums one more day. Just keep on talking. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on fasting. I'm going to keep on seeing God do above and beyond what I can ask of things, because I'm in this thing not for anybody's approval. I'm in this thing because I want one more. I want you to notice something. I'm going to skip way over this. Acts 5. Is marked with God killing people. That's a pretty scary chapter. I don't like reading that if I ain't prayed up. But there's a deeper principle there than money, if you'll read it. Because it wasn't that God was mad about what they gave. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they came in half-hearted. The problem was they didn't come in fully committed. And they came in with this, let me see if he'll notice. Let's just see how spiritual you is, Peter. And watch what the Lord says. You didn't lie to me. Peter said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. Because you weren't committed. Because you weren't all in. Well, I'm going to leave this little nugget. We're going to move on. But you hear what I'm telling you. The Holy Ghost is looking for a church that is all in. He's not looking for half-hearted praise, half-hearted worship, half-hearted prayer. He's looking for a body that is completely 100% saying, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whoever you want me to talk to, I'm the guy. Here I am. Isaiah said, Lord, send me whatever it is you're telling me to do, Jesus. I will do just that. I don't want to be found lacking in the spirit, but God, I'll give you every part of my life. I'll give you every part of my spirit. Why? Because God, I want to move with you. I want to move in prayer. I want to move in the Holy Ghost. And when I do, it's going to come by leaps and by bounds. What I'm saying is you've got to see what God sees. Back in March, I was praying here in the prayer room. And I'm not even sure what it all means right now. But the Holy Ghost downloaded in my spirit these words. I'm going to send a Red River revival. I don't know what all of it means, but I have enough sense to know this. God said, I'm going to send them from the Red River down. You see that? Well, I don't know about all that. Let me just help you right now. If God told you I'm going to send gold in Sherman tomorrow morning, how many would go to Dallas? I didn't think so. If the Lord said, I'm going to rain gold tomorrow in Sherman, everybody in this house, all your brothers, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, everybody be in Sherman waiting on gold. I've learned enough about God to know this. I prayed by faith. God, I want the east, the west, and the south. Yes, I have. But God, I've got faith right now. I see them coming from the Red River down. I'm going to see it by faith. I'm going to believe that there's going to be something above me and beyond me that I can't see right now. I'm not talking about a revival that tickles your ears. I'm talking about a revival that sends Holy Ghost conviction and God changes the hearts of men and of women, and there is apostolic breakthrough like there's never been before. I said it this morning and I want to say it again tonight. God sees a church of every ethnic group represented in this community and surrounding area. Not only does he see them here, but I believe he sees them operating even in ministerial positions. I'm just speaking a little faith, a little vision right now. I won't freak you all out too bad with what I think and see, but you hear what I'm telling you. God is so good at being God. He'll send people you never thought, and he'll promote people you never dreamed. He'll take people, I'm telling you, he'll take people messed up on meth, messed up in all kinds of horrible lifestyles, and he'll put them in a pulpit. He'll make them a prayer warrior. He'll make them a Sunday school teacher. He'll make them a care group leader. What is he doing? He's just being God. He's just seeing what you don't see. And he's saying, if you'd get delivered of what you can see and see what I see. I'm from Texas. I was raised in southeast Texas by a little town called Jasper, Texas. I know all about racism. I know that spirit. He tries to creep even in the church. And say, well, we don't want that here. Oh, yeah, we do. Well, you don't know. Oh, yeah, I do. And the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you hear me, that they're going to be sitting by you. And if they take over your pew, don't get offended by that. Just scoot down and get out in this pile and do a little dance, because it's the will of God. I'm telling you, for black men, for Hispanic men, for Asian men, for white men to worship in the same room. And it's the will of God for them to preach to us, sing to us, lead us. Why? God's trying to build a church. There ain't going to be no segregation in heaven. It's going to be all of us around the throne. I want to go there with everybody on the same ship. You come to piano. What God sees, you hear me? What God sees is he sees breakthrough like never before over your family. He sees deliverance over your life like you can't even imagine. He sees blessings over your home and over your marriage and over your finances like you can't even imagine. What does God see? He sees the world that is ripe for the harvest. Notice what God did not say. He did not say, man, the church is in a good place. Let's just coast right here. Let's live our best life. No, 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 no. God said, do not say there are still 4 months to the harvest. And then comes the harvest. Listen to what he says. Behold, I say to you, you ready for this? Lift up your eyes. And how about you take a good look at the fields? How about you unplug yourself from that carnal thing that keeps on dragging you back? And how about you look at the fields? Why, God? Because they're already white harvest. What else does God see? And this is where it convicts me and should convict us. God sees that the laborers are few. Never will forget. We have some good friends who stay in Minnesota. We were driving, a couple of our friends helped, Brother Mark Brown in Watertown, South Dakota, and we were driving to Minnesota. Never forget, as long as I live, I've never had God do this to me before or after. When our car drove into South Dakota, and the entire week I was there, the Holy Ghost put this in my spirit. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field. The harvest is plenty. It's just, I'm lacking laborers. I don't want to dig up in your corn crib too much. And I don't want you mad at the preacher tonight. Let me just talk to you with an open heart today. This doesn't apply just to this church, but to anybody hearing my voice. Never get to a place where you say, I've done enough. Never allow your spirit to come to a place where it says, I've reached long enough. I'm going to let somebody younger than me reach on. Hear me tonight. You may not run like you used to run. You may not jump like you used to jump. You may not have the voice you used to have, but you still got breath in your body. And until they put me in the ground, I pray they say he died reaching. I pray they say he died going after one more. I pray like Stephen of old, when they tried to kill him and they did kill him, as he was dying, he was still reaching. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What I preach into this great church now is this. God is calling people in this house, you hear me, back to some roots. I don't care if you can preach good. I don't care if you can sing good. I don't care if you can lead good. That means nothing. That means nothing. When's the last time you sat down with somebody and said, let me tell you a story about a man named Jesus? When's the last time outside of the church aisle, by yourself on a job site, at a cafe, at a coffee shop, wherever it is, that somebody felt comfortable enough to open up to you and said, man, I got to have whatever it is you have? What is that? That's going back to what Jesus said. You got to return to your first love. You got to get back to the roots. This church is sitting on top of blessings from the 1940s of men who have labored. We have a beautiful house to worship in, and thank God for that. I said it this morning, and I can feel it almost in my spirit ringing out tonight again. Beware lest you begin in the spirit and you wind up in the flesh. Meaning we can sing good. We can jump good. We can praise good. We got the best preachers of the Pentecost in the world. But if everything we do stays in here, we've missed it. You want to know what Jesus sees, buddy? I'm going to tell you what he sees. This is powerful. He sees this of you. You are a city set on a hill. Guess what? Cannot be hid. He goes on and says this, Brother Lester, so let your light shine so men can see. What does that mean? That means if I, Brad Davis, I have carnal days too. If I get a carnal day and I go out in public and I was supposed to shine light on somebody suicidal because carnality had me wrapped up in darkness, cover me that day, they didn't see the light that there's a way out of this thing. Let your light shine. What happens when a flashlight comes on? Anybody scared of the dark besides me? Yeah. All you macho men do what you want to. I don't like the dark. Anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? The Carlsbad Caverns, New Mexico? Got down the bottom of the cave and they turned that crazy light off? I think weird. I think, what if the light don't come back on? Why would you shut the light off, man? I don't want to have to find my way out of this place. But when he cut it off, I experienced for the first time in my life real darkness. The Bible calls hell thick darkness, and that just that utter darkness that is can't see in the hand in front of your face. And but it was so beautiful, brother. When he turned the light back on, I could see everybody. If he was over here before, I didn't know he was there. But when the light was on, I was like, come here. Just follow me. I can take you where you need to go. When the light was on and he was fighting all kinds of battles in his spirit and his mind and his soul, I could say, let me show you a light. And his name is Jesus. I'm just a reflection of him. But if he ever gets inside of you, he's going to change you, and you may be the world evangelist to shake the world one day. God, I feel the word up in this house. You never know, thank you, buddy. You never know who's sleeping under the pew right now. You never know who's in a Sunday school class right now, who may be the next missionary of the world, and he's looking for a church to be the light. I feel the Holy Ghost talking right now. Hear me right now. It's a whole lot bigger, mom and dad, than you going out there. Shine up in this house so they can see this is how we do it. This is how I pray. This is how I worship. This is how I overcome. Say this in closing. You can all stand. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering toward us. Hear this word. What does God see? Not willing that any should perish, but that, say it, church. Well, what does all mean again? Smart people here, what does all mean again? Say it again. Everyone. So tomorrow, you walk in the store, walk on your job, and the guy you want to remember, he's a part of that group called everyone. Remember when you stand at your next outing, event, game, whatever you do, and you see tens of thousands around you. I pray the thought crosses your mind. I wonder, have they heard about the light? That seems overwhelming. I know it does. That's why I encourage you. Start by saying hello to the person you see tomorrow. When used to, you'd walk down like this. The light, hear me and I'm done. The light is not pulling out your Acts 238 machine gun and giving them a full dose of doctrine your first visit. That ain't the light. That's Pharisaical. Well, I ain't know it is, because if the heart's not ready, unless the Holy Ghost just gives an urgency and he can't do that, I get that sometimes. But the light really shines its best. Read the book, How to Win Friends, Influence People, just becoming a friend. Saying a nice thing. Well, that ain't very spiritual. It is spiritual. When's the last time? Hear me, I'm done. When's the last time that you thought to yourself, am I really living out the gospel? I have it. I've repented. I've been baptized. Holy Ghost. Woo, great. Good for you. That's great. That's awesome. But when's the last time I asked myself, am I really living it out? Am I really being an ambassador? And everywhere I go, I'm a representation of the body of Christ. Never will forget this. Long as I live, I preached it for years where I pastored. Brother Meyer told me years ago, he said, Brad, never forget this. He said, God has put every part in the body in its divine place. He said, and God may call you to be a kidney. He said, but if God calls you to be a kidney, make sure you filter well. When no one sees me, they might not see you, but they'll feel you eventually. These kidney stones are coming. And it's going to be bad if you ain't careful. That's why I tell you, everybody in this house, you hear me? Everybody in this house is vital in the eyes of God. And he needs you tonight, I feel this, to step back to some roots of a first commitment, of a first love, of a first. Remember how it was when you got the Holy Ghost the first time? Oh, God. That was the most unbelievable feeling I ever felt in my life, man. It felt like I'd been plugged in, and I had been, to another world. That the God of glory would descend to a 7-8-year-old body and absolutely, radically change it. That's what the Lord wants to do tonight. Tonight. For some of you to go back to a first love. Get the first happiness back. The first joy back. The first unction to witness, to go out again and be a light to a world. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, God, for your spirit tonight. I pray, Holy Ghost, right now, that God, you would help us, God, to see what you see. God, take your light and shine it on my heart tonight. And if I'm lacking, God, help me see it, Lord. If I'm lacking tonight, help me to see, God, where it is that I'm lacking, and help me, God, to get back on this train of glory and keep on moving forward. In the name of Jesus. As they begin to sing tonight, I think it'd be great if we all came and prayed. You can stand, you can kneel, whatever you want to do. But I do encourage you, go back to your first roots. Help me to see, God, what you see. I don't want to just preach good. I don't want to just sing good, lead good, be a good church person, but God, I want to be the light you call me to be. Thank you.
God, praise tonight. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. I pray, God, establish in our hearts that desire, that burden, that hunger, God.
Happened in your life, whatever's going on, and you can't even see an inch in front of your face. But the Lord tonight, I'm telling you, He wants you to remove away the blinders, and you need to see again that God still has purpose on you, that God still has a plan for your life, that this is not the end, this is not how it goes down, that God wants you to see what He sees. You don't believe in yourself. God help me tonight. Like you need to believe in yourself. I'll knock that insecurity right in the face, as I know what it feels like. I fight him too, don't worry. But you're nobody by yourself, but God's got his hand on you. And God can't use you, and God can't take you where he needs to take you until you can see what he sees. If all you see is rejection and failure, you'll keep on going in this vicious cycle. I never will forget. I know from experience. An elder man, Brother Holly's his name, out of Biloxi, Mississippi, told me one time, he said, son, he didn't know I thought the greatest insecurity in the world, didn't believe nothing, didn't believe in myself. And he told me those exact same words. You don't have any confidence. And that can sound cocky and prideful, but it's not when you realize where the Holy Ghost, where that confidence comes from. And some of you tonight, you have faced that insecurity. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I've got nothing to offer. I'm just a reject on the side of the road. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And I combat that in the name of Jesus. And the Lord said, if you could just remove that from your eyes, you would see I've got destiny on you. I got purpose on you. I got plans that you can't even imagine in this house. Brother Kai Larson, when I was in TBC before he passed away, he told a good friend of mine, Donnie Willis, these words: don't doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. There's been many times that's the only thing that kept me grounded, is what God showed me when I was in my, Brother Larry Booker preached a message years ago, I planned this when I was in my right mind. So I'm thinking straight tonight. Hear me, somebody? I'm moving it off. No, I am God's man. I am God's lady. I'm going forward in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great church. Help us, Holy Ghost, to move in faith. Help us to move in the anointing of the Spirit, God. Help us to operate in faith. Help us to operate in the call you put on our lives. Help us to operate in the giftings and the callings you placed upon us. Help us to see what you see. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord tonight. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being in service on a Sunday night. Great crowd on a Sunday night. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night. Looking forward to preaching. and speak, teaching the word of the Lord to you in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake somebody's hand in Jesus' name.